This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% on select styles. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5HourEnergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Yeah, I mean, I was open to whatever was going to happen. You know, I knew the cap situation we were in and, you know, how many players we need to play, pay, you know, current and future, you know, younger guys. And so I knew it wasn't going to be like a personal thing. So going into it, I was kind of, you know, open to what was going to happen and, you know, ended up working for the best.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan, getting you some news from the Nest. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney today, here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. That was Ronnie Stanley, Ravens left tackle there, talking on Monday, I believe. And the question was about, you know, was he ever intrigued about free agency? And like Ronnie said, he knew the situation. Ronnie's a smart guy. He understands that there are young guys coming up on big paydays. And the Ravens' current cap situation. But without a doubt, and you got to see it as soon as free agency opened, that was a... I think he did the Ravens a favor by signing when he did and for how much he did.
You heard Eric talk at the Combine, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was no doubt whatsoever.
Oh, they were ready to announce it.
Yes. So it was... That sounded like it was already agreed upon, you know, that he was getting his $20 million. I think he was comfortable with it. And, yeah, I think it was – I mean, Ronnie made $7.5 million last year, and he's making $20 now. So he's made a ton of money. And I just think that – am I better off making $4 million a year in New England? No. You know, what are the benefits of him staying here in Baltimore? Number one, Lamar saves him a bunch. Mm-hmm. Saves him a ton of sacks. So I think that's a big thing. They know him. They know his strengths and weaknesses. You know, he's not a knock-you-off-the-ball guy. He's a finesse guy. Did he have a good year? Yep. He improved a bunch. And I hope that he's going to stay here in the offseason and, you know, continue to work and train. The nice thing is he's on his second year in a row, Cordell, where he's not rehabbing, he's training.
And that's a great thing for him.
No doubt.
I mean, you got to see a committed Ronnie this past year. He was at everything. And voluntary.
And practices, too.
Practices, in games. I thought his play definitely was substantially better than the year before. I always felt like Ronnie was a guy that they didn't want to let out of the building. I said it a couple of times, even on this show. When you're a Super Bowl contender, you can't have consecutive years of revamping your offensive line. And if you're losing your left tackle, that counts as a revamp. I mean, he's been the pillar of this offensive line since they drafted him. So I do think it's huge that he gets to stay here and at the number that he's staying at. And hopefully Ronnie, health is his biggest issue. Hopefully he's able to stay healthy going forward, because if he can and be available to them, I think he'll be worth his weight in gold.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, Cordell, right now, you know, they're running it back with 4 to 5.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is a good situation.
Yeah.
And who's not to say that at 27 they don't take, you know, a tackle guard type guy, you know, to play left guard. So I like where they're at, and I like that they're running it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I really like – I don't think they have, offensively at least, not a lot of question marks other than depth. You know, what did you think of the – did you like the Hopkins signing?
I do. I like it more than I don't, you know. I thought it was a typical Ravens signing to go get a guy a couple of years after you probably should have. I've been on the record 2 years ago when Lamar gave them the ultimatum of Odell or Hopkins – I was banging the table for Hopkins. Go get somebody that, A, sure, which Odell did, help them get the Lamar extension done, but go get the guy that's probably going to give you more production. And I felt like Hopkins was that. Now, at this stage, he's coming in.
33.
He's not explosive, still has a great catch radius, still has some of the best hands in the league. It's quarterback friendly. I think he'll be a good mentor for Zay and these guys, for Bateman. I like it more than I don't. I don't know. And look, he's a wide receiver 3 and maybe even like wide receiver 5 if you want to count like Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely and those guys. But I do think Hopkins will be able to help them. I don't think it's a bad signing.
All right, my question to you, Cordell, if everybody stays healthy, statistically, what do they need from Hopkins?
Statistically,
yeah,
maybe like, I mean, I'm having trouble seeing him get over 400 yards.
I'm right there with you.
Honestly, 4 touchdowns, maybe, red zone guy. I think he's going to be more of a situational receiver, though. Third downs.
Yeah.
And that's, he didn't get to do a lot in Kansas City, but I remember seeing the stat, and I got to find it. It was a point where every third down, Pat's looking at him. He was the guy getting on third down. So you know he will be available, and he doesn't have to get open. He has such
contested
strong
catches,
hands.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. So Lamar likes to throw it high sometimes. That's what D-Hop's for.
Yeah, and I'm total agreement, because we talked about it, you know, after they did it. Because, you know, I mean, when you look at it, Lamar threw for 4,100 yards.
Yeah.
You know, so he threw for a lot of yards. And, you know, What we would want is, I mean, you'd want Zay to run it. You'd take exactly what Zay had last year, wouldn't you? Like 1,100 yards?
Oh, yeah. Zay was great.
Now, with Bate, you think Bate's going to level up a little bit?
I would imagine so. You know, I guess the tricky thing for me is, with Bate, a lot of his plays came from, like, chunk plays.
Yes.
So, is that the way it's going to happen again? Possibly, because they've made that connection this past year.
And that may be kind of his role, is
right,
that guy. You know, because does Bate get 800, 900 yards?
See, I'd like to see Bate evolve as a receiver a little bit and start to get, like, I know he can run every route. I know he can get the plays down the field. I want to see him do more. I think he's capable of doing anything that you ask a wide receiver to do.
I want him to get in the weight room because he has yak ability.
Right.
But he goes down too easy.
Yeah, and maybe that's what I'm looking for. Because he showed that his rookie year.
His yak ability was great.
His acceleration is crazy. So I think they're just starting to scratch the surface with Bateman. Next, I want to see him turn some of these 15, which we've seen him do, but do it more often. Turn some of these 10-yard catches into like 50-yard games.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Now, the other thing, Cordell, is like with Andrews, would you take 673 and 11 touchdowns again with him?
Oh, definitely. I mean, he led all tight ends this past season.
With touchdowns.
Yeah, with touchdowns, you gladly take that. It won't be that. I think they're going to...
He'll have less.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a change of the guard this season.
So Likely had 477. You see him leveling up.
Likely's going up. He has to go up.
I think he could be in the 600s.
Yeah.
Well, his yak ability is so good.
Crazy good.
Yeah, I mean, he had 256 yak ability.
It's like he's like a receiver after the catch.
Yeah, and the other guy, I mean, Justice Hill had 383. I mean, that's what you'd like for D-Hop. Because Aguilar had 231 and two touchdowns. We want more than that.
Right.
More than that. Now, Justice Hill, can he run that back? You know, 383, three touchdowns. 433 yak yards, Justice Hill. 433.
I think he could if he's going to get on the field as much as he did this past year. Now, with Keaton being healthy again, I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know what that means for Justice Hill because it does, as much as they love Justice, they don't need much of a reason to push him down the line. They've shown that. So I think he should be out there and be able to do that, but who knows?
Yeah. So like you said, Aguilar had 231. So 331, you know, and like Aguilar, Cordell had 10 first downs.
I think D-Hop will eclipse that.
Justice Hill had 17, Likely 26, Andrews 39. So between 26 and 39 first downs, I would think for Hopkins.
Yeah, and that'll be good. And then you just need that veteran savvy guy again. Just somebody that'll make those big plays, those game-changing plays. He may not make them every week, but when you need him, I think he'll be there for you.
Do you think Lamar throws for over 4,200 yards? Does he throw for over 4,200 yards
in the regular season?
Yes.
I've got to say yes. At this point, I got to say they're adding weapons. I think, like I said, if Likely is going to do what I think he's going to do, which is get a bigger role in this offense, he's so explosive. I talked all about Likely all last offseason, last training camp. I think that this dude is capable of more than what we even think, honestly. I think Likely could be like an elite tight end in the league.
How about Tez Walker? Because we haven't even mentioned him yet, you know, because he's got to make the big jump.
Yeah, I just don't. And with D-Hop coming in, how many opportunities is he going to get?
Well,
and Tylan Wallace coming back.
If Tez is real good, you know, makes that jump, you know, and you see his speed. The only thing with Tez is he's not a great route runner yet, you know, because he's vertical speed. So that's the thing that he's got to really make a big jump and really improve upon. But, you know, if he could, you know, then like you said, then Hopkins. I mean, ideally, by the end of the season, Hopkins would be a four for you. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll switch gears, play a little buy or sell, check in on the stock market, answer some questions in the world of sports. That's next on The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
1057. The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next at 12:30, we'll talk some NFL draft with Tony Pauline, draft analyst from Sports Skeeda. But right now, Vinny, what's the stock market looking like?
Well, Cordell's in. So the Dow is up 133. S&P's up 5. NASDAQ's up 13. DraftKings up 24 cents. Under Armour's down a nickel.
All right, we'll get our sports topics started today in Major League Baseball, where CBSSports.com, Dane Perry has released an MLB Top 100 prior to the start of the regular season. The list of the Top 100 players features four Orioles, Colton Cowser at 96, Jordan Westberg at 75, Rutschman comes in at 20, and Gunnar Henderson at number four. No real arguments there besides, you know, maybe the exclusion of Felix Bautista, but we could be nitpicky here. Compared to other AL East teams, though, they're on par with Boston and New York. Both of those teams had four players in the top 100. Toronto, however, six players in here, none higher than Vlad Guerrero Jr. at 29. But Cordell, are you buying or selling that the Blue Jays have more top 100 talent than the rest of the division?
Oh, I got to sell that. Just off the top of my head, I can't say that. I mean, you look at the Yankees first and foremost, their pitching staff and the big name players that they have out there. You look at, I mean, even here in Baltimore, I think Baltimore has bigger better players than Toronto. Six, you said?
Yeah, six.
No, I can't say that. I'll sell that.
Shocked as well. Let's see, over to the NFL. We talked about this earlier, but the owners are set to meet later this month for their annual retreat to Florida. Among the many headlines that will come out of that week will, of course, be the voting process on some potential rule changes. We learned yesterday about what's being proposed, including the Lions' suggestion for a different playoff seeding format. Of course, the current system for division winners rewards them with a top four seed and home field to go along with it. The new proposed system would be based solely on record, maybe more similar to what we see in the NBA. It would eliminate situations like we saw last year where the Vikings and Lions had the two best records in the NFC, but Minnesota was relegated to a wild card spot. Vinny, buy or sell, if the format is switched, division scheduling will change as well. There's no longer a need to play your rivals twice a year.
Oh, I'll sell that. I think, you know, that helps you decide the division. You got a home and away. No, I'm keeping the schedule, you know, the same.
All right, over to the NBA. The Heat, they're in free fall right now. Your poor Heat, Cordell.
Nine straight.
That's the longest losing streak in the Eric Spoelstra era, so that's saying a lot right there. But realistically, losing, for the most part, is kind of expected following the trade deadline sell-off they had. They currently sit in that 10-seed spot, another five-game cushion over Toronto, who's on the outside of the play-in tournament picture. Now, what makes this interesting is that the Heat's first-round pick this summer is protected between picks 1 and 14, or else it gets turned over to Oklahoma City. buy or sell, the Heat will be able to tank enough in these final 13 games to miss the play-in tournament and ensure that they're guaranteed their draft pick.
I'll buy that. That's the only win that they have in their pocket right now, is to make sure that they secure that top 14 pick. So it's no, what are you looking to win for right now? They look a mess. They look a complete mess. They lost on the buzzer beater last night. They're playing hard because Spo is there and that's what they're going to do, but they're not equipped to do anything. I'm pretty sure they're smart enough to know they have to keep that draft pick.
And we'll do one more topic here today. The Steelers, they remain the favorites to land Aaron Rodgers, but as he continues to string this along, maybe Pittsburgh could grow a little impatient. There's some growing speculation that they could now look to draft a quarterback. Not in the first round, of course. They aren't within striking distance of the top guys there, but maybe Jalen Milroe from Alabama on day two. Keep in mind, the Steelers don't have a second-round pick. They'll have to wait until 83rd overall before they select again after the first round, and quarterbacks always seem to have a way of flying off the board faster than we expect. Buy or sell, Vinny, Milroe will still be available for Pittsburgh in the third round if they want him.
I'm going to sell it. He ran 4.37 at the pro day yesterday, so he was flying yesterday. I think somebody will take a chance on him.
Yeah,
Up to that. Sorry.
Go ahead.
You know, so they don't have the second rounder. If they get so desperate, or if Rodgers doesn't go there for some reason, they package some picks and trade up. Do they get super desperate, or do they kind of not really punt on the year, but are they willing to go with like a Mason Rudolph?
I wouldn't.
A subpar.
That's not selling anything to your fan base.
No.
I'll guarantee you that.
Nah.
It's making the Ravens fans happy if they did that.
Yeah, Jalen Milroe, I don't know what to expect from him in his NFL career.
He was
terrible
in the Senior Bowl. Yeah, he's just not accurate throwing the football.
He's a very he's a project for sure, but hey, when you've got 4.3 speed, yeah, that makes yourself an intriguing prospect for sure. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we got Tony Pauline joining us to talk about the draft. We'll ask him about Jalen Milroe's stock. Who else's stock has changed over the course of the draft season as well? We'll ask him next here on The Fan. It's Tony Pauline, draft analyst over at SportsGeeta. Tony, what's going on?
How you doing? I'd like to request Led Zeppelin's Achilles Last Stand, as I have in the past. I don't know if you guys will play it, though.
Oh, we will. It's request day. Throw that in the loop. We'll put that in the shuffle at some point today for sure. And Tony, we were just talking about Jalen Milroe in the last segment a little bit, running at 4.3 yesterday at the pro day. I don't know how much it'll change his draft stock or anything like that. I still, in my mind, I think he's one of the a major project at the quarterback position. But how do you think teams will react to that 40 time?
I mean, they won't. Jalen Milroe was one of my favorites coming into the season. He played very well the first half of the season, and then he really fell off the second half, and he was relying on his legs to win games more than his arm. I mean, he's not a receiver. He's not a cornerback. He's a quarterback. And it seems that he's lost confidence in his passing. And I think, you know, what it may further prove is that from a physical point of view, Jalen Milroe is the total package. He's probably better than any quarterback in this draft when you look at athleticism, arm strength. He's also a high-character guy that's a real leader. But his passing has really, you know, since the middle of the season, has really fallen off. He was not good at the Senior Bowl. He was not good at the combine. And I agree with you. He is a project. If you coach him correctly and you're able to harness everything and get him back to where he was end of 2023, beginning of 2024, and build from there, you could have a phenomenal quarterback.
Tony, in your mind, best player, Carter or Hunter?
Carter, Abdul Carter. I think I always put a premium. I'm old school, like you probably are, and I always put a premium on those impact defensive players. I think that's what Abdul Carter is. I think he's kind of broad brushed, unfortunately, as an edge rusher. But if you go back and watch the 2023 film, he did a lot of things well. I mean, he could play in space. He could play in coverage. He's good in pursuit. He's much more than a just up-the-field type of defender, which is why I like him better than Travis Hunter.
Tony, the tight end position has become so polarizing here over the last few years in the NFL, and Tyler Warren, he just looks like a complete stud coming out of Penn State. It makes me think back to years ago when Kyle Pitts was coming out of Alabama, and I thought Kyle Pitts was like this generational tight end. Florida. And it hasn't turned out to be that way to this point. But I look at Warren, man, and he just looks like the total package to me. Is he, in your mind, one of those can't-miss prospects in this class?
No. I mean, Kyle Pitts probably ran the 40 3/10 faster than Tyler Warren's ever going to run the 40. Yeah. I mean, he's very good. He's a good blocker. He's a terrific pass catcher, but he's not a down-the-field threat. I mean, I think, you know, he's a safe prospect at the position, but I don't think he's a game breaker. I don't think he's a dominant prospect at the position. I actually have Colston Loveland rated slightly higher than him because Loveland's a better natural pass catcher. He's more of a downfield threat. I personally believe that some of the tight ends that are going to be available in day two, Elijah Arroyo of Miami of Florida, or Rondae Gadsden of Syracuse, maybe even Joshua Simon of South Carolina, these guys who are great athletes who are going to get down the field and create mismatches in the secondary, I think that they will be the more dynamic pros 2 or 3 years down the road compared to Warren.
Hey, Tony, I tell you what, a kid that I really liked watching film, Jahad Campbell. I thought I liked him as an inside backer, but I really like him, his pass rush ability. I think he can be coached into being really good pass rusher. Because of the torn labrum, does he drop?
I don't think so because, you know, those things are fixable and it's not going to have a lasting impact on his game. I would agree with you. I mean, the off-ball linebacker has been devalued in the draft. He will be the first off-ball linebacker that is selected probably somewhere in the bottom third of round one. He's a three-down player. You can teach him the blitz, 235 pounds. You know, he's going to have a free shot or really develop moves to get off blocks. But he's a guy that can go sideline to sideline, can drop in coverage. He's outstanding in pursuit. I don't think an injury like that is going to hold him back because he should be ready for camp.
Now, Tony, a guy who was like that, Jalen Walker, I didn't like him as an inside backer. I didn't think instinctively his stuff, he's even close to Campbell. And at 6'1", you know, 230 pounds, you know, as a pass rusher, you know, he got engulfed some. I mean, he's an impressive blitzer and doing all those things. But I thought Campbell, if I had to choose between the two, I like Campbell better than Walker.
I guess it depends on the type of system that you're playing. I mean, I really like Walker. I liked him in 2023 when he was a backup and I saw the makings there of a potentially dominant, game-changing linebacker. Yes, he's 6'1", but he's also 243 pounds. And he's sort of like Abdul Carter in the sense that he's more than a pass rusher. He can play in space. He can go sideline to sideline. He's an outstanding athlete who covers a lot of area on the field. So, yeah, everybody talks about the pass rush, the edge rush, but you need guys who can play on the second level in defense in pursuit, and I think Walker can do that.
We're talking to Tony Pauline, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Shamar Stewart is a guy that we're seeing more and more. Vinny has his second draft profile today, and he'll be looking at Shamar Stewart. What are your feelings on him?
Great athlete who's got to learn to become a football player. I mean, he's a great straight-line athlete, ran incredibly fast at the combine, jumped through the roof, but he only had 1.5 sacks this year at Texas A&M. When I talk to people why at the combine, they said he's a guy who struggles changing direction. If he had that agility to bend off the edge, he probably would have had double-digit sacks. But his inability to really change direction and bend cost him a lot of opportunities, cost him a lot of sacks. And some people actually compared him to Vernon Golston. For those who remember Vernon Golston, another guy who was a sensational athlete but struggled with his agility, struggled bending off the edge. Golston had some other issues as well. And, you know, Stewart right now, I believe, is a great athlete who really has to learn to become a football player.
I totally agree, Tony. Now, Tony, for the Ravens at 27, does Malachi Starks or Nick Emmanuori, either one of them have a chance to be there, and which one do you like better?
Well, I mean, it's ironic you asked me that because my updated mock draft will be out tomorrow on Sports Theater, and I have the Ravens taking Malachi Starks. I think Emmanuel is going to go in the middle of round one, maybe the Dolphins, maybe the Colts. I think Starks is kind of, people seem to be very high on him, and then he didn't have a great combine, and they're very, you know, they're not as high on him as they were, but he's still a legitimate center fielder. He's still good in coverage. I think that he would be a perfect, you know, player to go back and forth, a perfect complement to play with Kyle Hamilton. I do have him there, and I have the Ravens taking him at the end of round one.
Tony, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time today. How can people follow you and keep up with your work?
Like I said, sportskeeter.com. We've got all the information on the Pro Day workouts, which is March is the busiest month of the year for me. I'll have an updated mock draft, and as we head towards the draft, we'll have all the news and rumors as we move towards draft weekend.
Well, Tony, this is your time of year. Enjoy it, man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you again down
the line.
Thanks,
Tone.
Thanks for having me again.
Yep. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, if the tournament is underway, Creighton and Louisville, they're the first game of the day. The second game is about to start, if it hasn't already, Purdue and High Point. We'll talk about our Final Fours in our own individual brackets. That's next here on The Fan. Right now, we're looking at our brackets, talking about our Final Fours. And again, the tournament is underway. Creighton up 28-21 over Louisville right now. That's the 8-9 matchup, Creighton being the 9 seed. And High Point and Purdue, they're underway as well. That's the 4 versus 13, Purdue with a 9-8 lead in that one as of now. I don't have any crazy, crazy upsets. I got a few in my bracket, but in terms of my Final Four, right now I have my Final Four at, what is it doing? This didn't even show me, but my Final Four is Florida, Duke, Tennessee, Auburn. And my, so 3-1 seeds and a 2 seed in there. And the one that concerns me is Tennessee. I don't know if Tennessee will end up being there, but I feel pretty confident about the other three.
Nolan, what's yours?
I got a lot of chalk as well. I got 3-1 seeds, Auburn, Duke, Houston, but coming out of the West, it's got to be the Terps. I'm all in. I'm drinking the red Kool-Aid. I don't care. Coaching, coaches leaving, athletic director, I don't care. This is the Terps year. It's going to happen. I've waited damn long enough. I'm tired of waiting. Nothing is going to stop this. And really, I mean, people look at the West and they say it's a stacked region. Florida concerns you, obviously, but I kind of got my eye on a potential second round matchup there. UConn versus Florida. Now, granted, UConn's got to get through Oklahoma first. It's not the same UConn team as the last few years, but how much stock do you put into that Hurley factor? Can he pull off an upset there? I wouldn't surprise me.
I've got St. John's out of the West, Michigan State out of the South, Duke and Houston are mine. I've got three of my four coaches are all over 65.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned St. John's there. We were talking about it earlier. They should get through Nebraska, Omaha, no problem. I mean, that would be a shocker to see them lose there. Next round, Kansas or Arkansas. I mean, take your pick, but I mean, sure, they're a 7 or a 10 seed, but the coaching factor there, and if I'm being honest, St. John's, Patino's great, but who have they played? Mm-hmm. Have they been battle-tested? And right there, you're going to draw either, you know, a Kansas team that's extremely well-coached or an SEC team that's extremely battle-tested this year. I mean, no schedule is as daunting as an SEC schedule this year. So I just wonder if St. John's is really ready for that quick ramp-up.
A lot of people are picking Texas Tech to come out of the West, too.
Texas Tech is dangerous. You just don't know which version of Texas Tech is going to show up on that day. But I've bet on Texas Tech a couple of times this year, and they made me look good. Any major upsets do you guys have in the first round?
First round, I'm looking here. I mean, we talked about Colorado State over Memphis. Mm-hmm. I don't know how big of an actual upset that is.
I picked Colorado State.
Right. Yeah.
I took Arkansas over Kansas.
Okay.
How about the Akron Zips over Arizona? Why not? There's a 13 over a 4.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not really sold on Oregon. I mean, that's close there, too. Liberty and Oregon. We got a pretty good look at Oregon this year. I don't know if I'm sold on them.
So Liberty is actually like a team I've put stock in. Now, actually, let me take that back. I didn't have that much stock into them. I have them losing in the next round to Duke. But I did have Liberty beat Oregon. So that's another 12-5. But That's, I don't, like, we had Jeff Ehrman on earlier, and like he said, the 12s notoriously beat five seeds. I do have two 12 seeds winning in the first round.
Oh, I got Vandy beating St. Mary's. Then I got Vandy beating Alabama.
Oh, Alabama, I'm down on Alabama now. I didn't like how they finished the year. So I could see them slipping up a little bit. Kansas, I have them losing to Arkansas, and Kansas has been up and down this year. They finished the season better than they started it, for sure. But we were in uncharted territory this year, where Kansas at one point weren't even ranked. So I don't trust them a lot, and I can't sit here and say I trust Arkansas a ton either. But that is, that 10-7 matchup is one that I have circled.
I got one more for you. It's not first round, but okay. You know, did we all have Houston in the final, or I had them in the final?
You have them in the final four.
So obviously, like them quite a bit, but you're looking at a potential second round matchup here, maybe against Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
And again, is this the same Bulldogs team that we've seen in the past? It's kind of like a UConn thing, not really, but like some of the metrics here, KenPom and stuff. I mean, Gonzaga is like top 10 in offense. They're top 30 in defense. They're up there with the likes of Michigan State, Texas Tech, Iowa State when it comes to that sort of ranking. It feels like they might be a little underseeded at 8. They got to get through Georgia first. But that could be a hell of a second-round matchup there with Houston.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how chalky this year's bracket will turn out to be, because I do think the playing field is a little more balanced this year. There are some top-heavy teams, but it's not many of them. It's not many of them. And even some of these SEC teams that have been hot all year came cooling down a little bit to end the season. So I am curious to see how many upsets we'll get this year. I want madness.
I got Wisconsin making a pretty decent run.
I do too.
I was impressed with them this year.
Yeah.
And they had a little bit of a falter there towards the end. You know, fell out of the regular season race, but then they looked pretty good in the tournament. So, I mean, they could be a team that gets hot right at the right time, but they've certainly got the talent. I mean, talk about Maryland's starting five. I mean, they're right there with them. A lot of talent there, a lot of scoring options.
I got Wisconsin losing to Duke.
Same, in the Elite Eight. Yeah same.
But you mentioned you want madness in the early rounds, right?
Right.
I mean, we'll take the 12s over the 5s. Yeah. We'll take the great Cinderella story.
I don't want a 14 in the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, we want to see top 4 seeds going head-to-head. Those thrilling matchups.
And I think we'll get that eventually. But I do think this weekend of games, yeah, I think it's no holds bars. I think we're going to... We should be in store for a lot of craziness.
I mean, Cordell, like, my Elite Eight is Auburn against Michigan State, Florida mm-hmm. against St. John's, Duke against Wisconsin, Houston against Kentucky.
And that's what I'm saying. Those teams are too good,
yeah.
I think, to lose to some of these lower seeds. I do think by the time you get to the Elite Eight, it's going to get a little chalky. I mean, I've seen some of the experts with multiple one seeds, 3 or 4 one seeds in the Final Four. So I think that's probably the consensus around the world. But then again, this time of year, we're all wrong. Every year, we're all wrong this time of year.
Coming well, except up, the 111 people well, that yeah. pick West Virginia to go to the tournament.
Wow. What's done is done. What's in the past is in the past.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll feed you some NFL lunch. See what's going on in the NFL. That's next here on The Fan.